Thank you very much. Thank you for Mr. Richard and wife. And I come here because second February this year, I dreamed about Jesus Christ and come to talk to me. And angel Jesus Christ come talk to me, say, Jesus is Son of God, and he come back again. And now I interest all time about Jesus Christ is Son of God, and I believe it. One day I go to my country, I can go to tell everybody, whole East Timor, I'm from East Timor, whole East Timor, I can talk people about Jesus Christ because he's Son of God. And always my heart say, I believe in Jesus Christ. Everywhere I think about Jesus Christ, he's Son of God. Long time ago, maybe 10 years ago, like, I something big problem in my body, my life. But after I dreaming about Jesus Christ, look like I'm flying so good. Look like I have million problems in my head, all gone. Look like I'm flying. I might have so happy because my country's war and the 24-year war and plenty of people die. I have million problems in my head. But when I dream and see Jesus Christ, look like I'm flying. Look like I'm so happy. I see people, I'm so happy. And my heart always say, oh, thanks for God. Yeah. That's it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Everything. Thank you.
Goodness me. Don't you feel blessed with that wonderful worship? Thank you, Denisha and the worship group. I love coming here because your worship is so spot on, and it just gives us the freedom to worship God as he deserves. I want to read to you this morning from Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See here, this is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would receive it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's a lovely to come back to you. It's a lot of old friends here, and I hope by the end of the morning, new friends also. I don't know about you, but one of the things that blesses me most about being a Christian is that we are all members of the family of God. So that makes us brothers and sisters. And I love that concept of the family of God, so I hope you do too. Excuse me, I've gone croaky, so all that singing. This morning, I want us to think about the blessings and the faithfulness of our wonderful Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Do you know, we, the church, we're called the Bride of Christ. Do you know, I am really encouraged this morning on so many fronts. How many of you listened to the news this morning on television? Did you see the early morning news? No? Oh, well, there you are. One of the sad things that we reported, now, I'm not a great football fan, but I did watch the rugby yesterday, but there was a footballer, Fabrice Muamba, who collapsed on the pitch with cardiac arrest. And as they interviewed people, fans, other people, every single one of them, at some point in their conversation, said, "Please pray." Isn't that wonderful? When the chips are down, where do people turn? They turn to the Father. And I thought this morning, you know, we pray for that man, because the testimony is that he's very, very seriously ill. He may not make it. And yet they've, on public television, they've said, "Please, will the nation pray?" So, you know, they're probably not even Christians asking it. Doesn't matter. We pray, because our God is so powerful and so wonderful. Now, I'm not a member of this church, as you know. I'm actually a member of Tabernacle in Penarth, and we're quite a large, lively church like yourselves, and I don't know what blessings you've had since I was last with you. It's about a 12-month since I've last been with you. So I don't know what God's done for you, but one thing I can guarantee is that he has been good to you. Amen? Because that is the nature of our God. He is a good God. Many of you, I know from my own life, many of you will have come through challenging personal circumstances. There will have been bad days, yes? Maybe bad weeks, bad months. But in all that, you will have come through solely by the sustaining grace of a wonderful God. So I know, no matter which church I go to, I can say, "Praise God for the blessings have happened since the last time I was with you." You will have overcome because God has been faithful to you. He has kept his promise never to leave you nor forsake you. Even at our darkest moments, God is there. Yes? How can I say that? Because the Bible tells me I can say that. And I know from my own experience. And because we worship a good God, we worship a holy God. We worship a faithful God who never, ever breaks his word. And his word, the Bible, goes start from Genesis right through to Revelation. The constant message is how much God loves his people and how much he loves his church. In my church, you probably sing it here, we sing a chorus that says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you sing that one here? Yes. Yeah. And isn't that true? You know, Satan will throw whatever he's got to throw at us, but God will never see his church on earth closed. All right? So be encouraged. The church of Christ will never succumb to the onslaughts of the evil one. Now, in the passage I read to you just now, Jesus told a parable about a wealthy landowner who went off on a long journey. And before he went, he gave some money to each of 3 servants. And that money is described as a talent. Well, I don't know much about what a talent is. So I did a little bit of research, and I found that one commentator suggested that one talent was probably worth a couple of £100. Another one said that a labourer would have taken 20 years to earn the equivalent of one talent. And that's the one I'm going to fix with, right? Because, you know, when we say one had one, one had two, one had five, we think they're all small amounts. But to get the sense of this story, you've got to understand what enormous amounts the master was entrusting to these servants. So can you imagine now, if this church was blessed financially and the leaders came to you and they said, I'm going to give you 20 years equivalent of someone's salary and I want you to use it for the good of the kingdom. How would you feel? Terrified? Yes? What if they came and said, I'm not going to give you one lot, I'm going to give you two or even five? Right? Can you imagine? How would you feel? I guess most of us would go, and then panic. And then think, Lord, I don't know how to handle this amount of money. So I want you to get a grip on just how much it was, even the servant who only had one talent. The master in the story was entrusting him with a fortune. All right, that's the bit you've got to get hold of. Now, at the beginning of the story, we're not told anything about these servants, just that there were three of them. We don't know what they did, what status they had in the household. We don't know anything about them. But we do know that one received five talents, one two talents, and the other one talent. Well, we know what happened. The man with the five talents, he put his to work. We don't know how. But whatever happened, he gained five more. The man with the two talents, he did the same. I don't know what he did, but he used it wisely, and he gained two more. But the one who had just the one talent was like me. He was petrified, and he thought, I can't cope with this level of responsibility. So he hid it in the ground. Just for a few moments this morning, I want to ask you, what has God entrusted to you over these past 12 months? I don't necessarily mean money, although that is part of it. What abilities has God given you? What resources have been available to you? What special natural gifts have you got? What special spiritual gifts has God entrusted to you? I'm sure you can guess what my next question is going to be. In what ways have you used that money, those abilities, those gifts, both natural and spiritual, in the service of God? If you've got a car, have you used it in his service? If you have a home, have you opened it for his use? Have you added a blessing to the kingdom work in this place? Has your contribution made a difference? Or have you watched from the sidelines, too afraid to step out in faith? Think about that question. What have you done with what God has entrusted to you? Because I'm going to come back to it in a moment. This morning we've come to praise and worship God. And especially on Mothering Sunday, we've thanked God for mothers and said, bless you all you who are mums. And we thank God for his constant love. But most especially, we thank God for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on that cross of Calvary, so that all who are willing to say yes to him, as our brother has said this morning, will know eternal life. I cannot fathom why people do not want to accept the wonderful gift of eternal life. I always find it a mystery when I speak to people and they go, it's not for me. Well, brothers and sisters, we've got to tell them that it is for them. They need Jesus the same as we need him. And because God has charged me with the task of proclaiming Jesus everywhere I go, I have to ask you, have you reached that place on your life's journey where you feel ready to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? The question is, we are all on a journey towards eternity. One day we will all die. There's nothing more certain than that. But at that moment, will we be going to spend eternity with the Lord in glory, or will we be cast outside? Even if you have accepted Christ many, many years ago and been faithful in his service, I will still ask you, where are you on your journey this morning? Are you traveling towards the cross? Are you traveling towards Jesus? Or have you come to a standstill? Or even more, have you turned around and are you going the other way? Are we becoming more like Jesus or less like Jesus? Do you have that wonderful assurance that with certainty you know that you will spend eternity with him in glory? You know John 3:16 as well as I do. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Despite what others might want to tell us, the Bible says there is only one way to receive that life, and that's through faith in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Did any of you watch a program on Saturday evening or Friday evening called Missionaries Returned or something like that? No? Shame on you. Have a look. Next Saturday, it's on Saturday next week. And what it is, it's going to countries where we at one point from the United Kingdom sent missionaries out there to evangelize, and now they are sending missionaries back to us to evangelize. And last week it was a gentleman from Jamaica, and the person who had started the missionary work out in Jamaica was a British man, and he is now coming back, and he engaged with a little tiny church, a Baptist church somewhere in England. Do you know, within a week he had made a difference. And do you know why that was? Because he was out there on the street speaking to people, telling them about Jesus. He was out there doing as the disciples did. And it was just incredible. He was only with them for about 2 or 3 weeks, and he made an impact. Right? So next week, look for it. I think it's called Missionaries Returned or Returning Missionaries, something like that. BBC Two, have a look at it for Saturday night. You will be encouraged. But as we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, so he imparts to us not only his life eternal, but his Holy Spirit, that we might be equipped to do his work. And you know, whatever God gives to us, whatever he gives to us financially, gift-wise, whatever, he gives it to us for one purpose only. Does he give you money to make you rich? No, he gives it to you to give away. Does he give you gifts to use to make you feel good? No, he gives them for you to use in his service. All right? And that's where he gives everything he does. He wants us to use what we've got to bring others into the light of his glory. Now, it's wonderful to be part of the family of Christ. I love it. Every time I go to a church, I get excited. I can't help it. That's how I am. But you know, with membership, with being part of the family of God, comes responsibility. We come in this morning to be worshipped. We've come to be strengthened. I hope we've come to say to the Lord, sorry, Lord, for the things I've messed up on in this week, and to receive his forgiveness. Perhaps we've even come in this morning and the Lord is going to challenge us. But whatever reason we've come in for, God wants to send us out differently from how we came in. He doesn't want us. If we came in miserable, he doesn't want us to go out miserable. If we came in feeling tired, he wants to send us out energized. If we came in feeling, I'm no good, he wants me to tell you, you are good, because he will work through you. We come in and then we go out to tell the world about Jesus and our wonderful Savior. Well, I've given you a little bit of time to think about my earlier question. How well have you used all that God has given to you in this past year? How well have you done? It's a sobering question. But do you know, I want you to notice one thing. Do you notice he gave different amounts to each servant? I like that. I don't know if you've picked it up before, particularly, but you know what that says to me is that God knows me through and through. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what you can be trusted with. He isn't going to give us the 5 talents equivalent when we're not ready for it. He might not even give us the whole 1 talent when we realize what a big amount, but he will give us what we can deal with. He won't overwhelm you. I've spoken with people and they say to me, I'm afraid to be asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit because I don't know what God will want me to do. But brothers and sisters, he will only want you to do that which he equips you to do. He isn't going to give you something and send you off to anywhere if that's not part of his plan for you, okay? So don't be afraid. Many years ago, I was facing a kind of crossroads in my own spiritual life. And I got to a place and I was saying, Lord, I want to serve you, but I seem to have lost direction. I hadn't lost any faith, but lost direction. What do you want me to do? And I prayed and prayed and nothing came. And I was getting a bit cheesed off with all that. And I, please, God, speak to me. Tell me what you want me to do. And one day in the service, I wasn't a member of Tabernacle then, so I'm going back a long way. Somebody went forward for ministry, for to laying on of hands. And I felt in my heart that the Lord was saying, go and lay hands on that person. And I sat there and I said, Lord, I can't. I'm not a member. And he said to me, why aren't you a member? And I said, because I haven't been baptized. And he said, well, get baptized. And by the end of the meeting, I knew my direction was to join this church. Get baptized, join. And on another occasion, when I felt the Lord was asking me to help the little church, actually, that I'm still attached to at the moment, I'm a great one for arguing with God. I think it's something he's got to deal with in me. But when he says to me, do something, I say, Lord, I can't do that. You know my circumstances. You know my husband doesn't go to church. You know I've got a paralyzed son. You know my daughter's in New Zealand. And you know this, Lord, and you know that, and you know the other. And the Lord said to me, stop it, Margaret. Do what you can, not what you can't. And I'm going to share that word with you this morning, right? That's God's word to you this morning. Do that which you can. Don't worry about that which you can't do, because God will raise somebody else up to do that bit. You do what you can. And do you know what? If we all did what we can do, my goodness, you'd be thriving here. You already are, bless you, but you'd even be more thriving. The master gave to each servant exactly what that servant could handle. The first two did their very best with what they'd been given, and their master was pleased. Now, I actually don't think it matters that they doubled what the Lord gave them, that the master gave them. But what they did the best they could with what had been entrusted to them. They did what they could, not what they can't. The third servant, however, made no attempt to do anything. And we don't know, well, we do know that he was frightened. He was afraid of the master. And rather than risk losing it, he hid it in the ground. But you know, when the master rebuked him, he called him lazy and idle. I don't want to stand in front of the Lord one day and he say to me, Margaret, you've been lazy. You've been idle. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done what you could. And I'm sure you must feel the same as that. We know the master was furious with this lazy servant and called him wicked and lazy. I love the fact that God knows everything about me. And I don't know whether you love that fact that he knows everything about you, but he knows my background. He knows the times I've messed up. He knows the times I've been on track for him. He's known the times I've struggled to stay with him. And you know, in spite of all that, he says, Margaret, I can use you if you're willing to do what you can do. It's the same for you. Often though, God knows you're capable of doing something long before you know it yourself. Let me give you an example. 30 years ago, long time ago, I was teaching in Penarth, and I was actually teaching one of the children of the then minister, John James. And out of the blue, I received a letter from the church saying, would you come and speak to the church, would you do the sermon on Ladies' Anniversary Sunday? Now, I had never, ever preached in my life. I was a teacher, so I was used to being on my feet with children. That's one thing, children do as they're told, mostly. In school they do, anyway. But I'd never preached. And I looked at this letter and I thought, I can't believe you're asking me to do this, Lord. And I prayed about it and I felt God was saying, do it. So I wrote back and I said, thank you very much. Yes, I will do it. Now, I had never been inside Tabernacle Church. Any of you been inside Tabs? Okay. It's huge. It probably holds 600-700 with a pinch, right? I walked in that day and it was full. My knees were like, ugh. And in those days, wooden pews. I was up on the platform. There was this huge, beautiful pulpit, but so grand. And I stood behind it. I thought, I can't do this, God. My message is so straightforward. I'm not a theologian. I'm a primary school teacher, for goodness sake. And I panicked. But God said, yes, you can. You can do it. Well, I did it. My knees shaking. I'm so glad it wasn't like this. There was a big pulpit around me. They couldn't see. And in the night, I went back and I did it again with a different message. And my daughter was with me. And she was about 13 and she came with me. And she was sat next to a teenage boy in the night. And at the end of the service, he said to her, he says, what do you think of that woman who was talking today? Not knowing that I was her mother. So Catherine muttered, very embarrassed, you know what teenagers are like. And she went, oh, she was all right. And he went, yeah, he said, I didn't think much of her this morning. He said, but she was really good tonight. So 1 out of 2, it wasn't too bad. Oops, sorry, it's me knocking my mic. I didn't know that I could dare to stand up and speak for Jesus. But God did. And he opened that door by that first letter. I could have said no. Part of me wanted to say no. But I said yes. And that's where I began then to... That was probably the first of a preaching ministry that's gone on for 30 years. So the Lord knows what you are capable of doing. And when he puts something in front of you, don't panic. Don't say, I can't. Say, I can with your help. But let's go back to the parable. Which of the servants would you identify with? If I asked you to say, are you the one who had one talent? Are you the one who had the two or the five? Which are you? Are you the one of the ones who doubled their money? Or are you the one who hid it in the ground? Because you're too afraid to step out in faith. I'm not going to ask you. It's for you to answer in your head. But the Bible tells us always that we should look back with thanksgiving and look forward with hope. So quite honestly, it doesn't matter which servant you think you are at this moment. What matters is that what servant you will be from this day on. Will you be a servant that uses every single thing the Lord gives you for his glory and for his honor? Or will you be a servant that says, Lord, I can't? We read in Isaiah, forget the former things. See, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I love the fact that God gives us permission to forget the past. Because haven't we all got things in our past that we wish we hadn't done, wish we hadn't said, wish we hadn't thought? You know, there isn't one of us here that has lived a sinless life. But God says, once we come to him and we confess that sin, that shortcoming, that regret, it's gone. He wipes the slate clean. You know, if there were young people here, we'd have to say, he wipes off a videotape or something. They wouldn't know what a slate was, would they? But you know what it means. It means that God does not keep a record of your wrongs Once we've forgotten them, once we've confessed them, he forgets them. And I love that. I love the fact that God says to me, Margaret, doesn't matter about yesterday, that's gone. Doesn't matter what 10 years ago when you messed up. It doesn't matter because I've forgiven you. And you know what I've got to do? I've got to forgive myself. And some of you are not very good at doing that. God forgives us, but we're not very good at accepting that at face value. You know the Apostle Paul? He did the most horrendous things, yes? He was there telling his people, kill these Christians off. He was there at the stoning of Stephen. And yet once God said to him, you're forgiven, and I've got a job for you, did Paul argue and say, didn't say, Lord, how can you forgive such a terrible sinner? No. He said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm now going to spend the rest of my life working for the glory of God. And you know he did. And he changed the world where he was in. However young or however old you are, there is a work that God wants you to do. Perhaps when we become less physically able, then we must become the prayer warriors of the church. Or maybe we're the person who makes that phone call of encouragement. Maybe we're that person who sends a card that just says simply, I'm thinking of you. Doesn't have to be a lengthy epistle. There is always something every one of us can do. The people who are often laid aside with age or ill health often become the prayer warriors for the church. And believe you me, brothers and sisters, they are vital to the ministry of the church. They are the people who will intercede for the program of the church, for the leaders, for the workers, for the sick, for those struggling with relationships, for our nation, for our government, for the war-torn areas of the world. Never say to yourself, there's nothing I can do. That is a lie from the enemy. It is simply not true. We can do everything that God has entrusted us to do. If he's asked you to do it, he will give you the resources to do it. But he won't give you the resources first. He will give you the task first. And as we step out in faith, he will provide that ability, that money, the means to do whatever it is you do. God has promised that he will always equip us. He will never ask us to do something that is impossible. If you can sing, then get up there or down here and sing for God. If you can play a musical instrument, play it for God. If you're good in the kitchen, then make tea for God. If you are a good listener, then sit and listen to others who need to talk. Maybe even consider training as a counselor. If you're able to help practically, then do that which you can do. Offer your skills to God for his service. And if you feel God is calling you to a specific role of ministry, then get it to the church leaders. Ask them to pray with you. Ask them to help you discern the call of God on your life. The options are endless. All are pleasing except one. Do not be like the lazy servant who chose to do nothing with what God had given him. There is a kingdom work waiting for everyone. And may this coming 12 months, I don't know when I'll come back to see you. Hopefully it won't be as long as 12 months, but maybe this year be a year of great fulfillment for this church. May you see people coming to know Christ as Savior. May you see relationships restored. May you see heart desires fulfilled. May you see sicknesses healed. And may you see the kingdom of God extended here in this church. How will that happen? It will happen when we all say to the Lord, I will do what I can. And what I can't do, I will leave for you to raise up somebody else to do it. I hope this encouraged you this morning, because God has a work for you. You are already a wonderful congregation. I love to come here. So easy to speak to you because you're a faithful church. But I pray that the next time I come back, there'll be even more people here, and we'll have to push the chairs forward a little bit to make sense. So God bless you. Thank you. And continue to work with the Lord for his praise and glory. Amen.